empty is not quite the dream. I think that that's a very important lesson that we have to learn, for instance, regarding how we deal with Eretz Yisrael, with the state of Israel. We want it to be perfect. There is no perfect state in the world yet. And yet, not only we expect it, the world expects that it should be perfect. We cannot do anything. We cannot be guilty of any of the sins that all other nations are guilty of. We have to be above everything. It's very hard, especially since it's composed of ordinary people who have a daily struggle for existence and survival. It's hard to live up to a dream. Acosta didn't realize that, or he couldn't realize that. All other comments aside, I think Sharansky's greatest problem is going to have to be to deal with the reality. Because if you're in a slave labor camp for 9 years, you're dealing with the dream. You're not dealing with the reality. And in the dream, there are very few shades of gray. The world is black and white, right and wrong, good and evil. But the reality of it is far, far more difficult. And everyone has feet of clay, we have all the problems. Someone told me that's called marriage. But that's the reality of life. Parents, children, business associates, human beings are, after all is said and done, nothing more than human beings, and they're subject to all these problems. Acosta could not come to grips with that. And he saw in the Jews in Amsterdam all of the problems that exist in Jews and in non-Jews throughout the world. He saw greed and avarice. He saw political exploitation. He saw cunning. He saw cheating. He saw a lot of things that were wrong. And he found it very hard to deal with. So he made the mistake of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. He was an outspoken person. He was a scholarly person. And he had a very low boiling point. So he made comments. He made comments in the synagogue. He made comments in the Jewish street. And then finally he wrote a book in Latin. And in the book he exposed his theories of Judaism, his theories of belief. As I mentioned to you, his theories did not resemble Judaism. He did not, fully 8 of the 13 principles of Maimonides he refuted. So there was very little ground left for him to be a Jew. He still might have gotten away with the book, especially since it was written in Latin, and did not appear on the New York Times bestseller list any Sunday. And nobody really cared what Acosta had to say, except that in the second half of the book he caricatured certain leading members of the Jewish community of Amsterdam for their greed, for their avarice, for their bad habits. Yeah, he has a 2-page criticism about picking one's nose. Evidently, there was somebody in shul that was picking his nose. The guy who read the book knew who he meant. We don't. But this type of behavior, this type of attitude, does not endear yourself to the community. Especially the community said, look at this kid. This kid came and he's a Murano. He just baptized a Catholic and we were nice enough to take him back and to accept him as a full-fledged Jew. And now he comes and he doesn't like Judaism and he doesn't like Jews, so let him go be a goy again. That's what they said. Who needs him? And in 1598... they issued a ban of excommunication against Uriel Acosta, the rabbinate of Amsterdam. The rabbinate of Amsterdam did so under the